Our next case this evening is 12,159 John and Roe Cassie, seeking variances from the front yard and rear yard setbacks for an existing structure under Section 115-25 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the north side of Hayes Avenue, approximately 268 feet west of Jefferson Avenue. The 911 address is 13030 Hayes Avenue, Selbyville. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 533, map 20.19, parcel 55. We received zero mail returns, zero letters of support, and five letters of opposition. I'll get back to the letters of opposition. Specifically, the applicant is seeking a 4.4-foot and 4.8-foot variance from the 15-foot required rear yard setback for a second-story deck and a 0.2-foot variance from the required 30-foot front yard setback. Staff notes that a recent code change reduced the setbacks on small lots, reduced the side yard setbacks on this lot to 5 feet and the rear yard setback to 15 feet. The survey does show an incorrect building setback line in the rear. However, the zoning setbacks were indicated correctly based on the old code by text. The previous case, number 11,852, was denied. However, a temporary CO was issued by staff upon completion of the building. The temporary CO does expire on September 18th, pending the outcome of the board. The letters that we received in opposition, one was provided by Frank and Kathleen Perry, submitting these comments in reference to case number 12,159. They're unable to attend the public hearing. They are property owners at 13034 Hayes Avenue, which is two lots west of the property in question. The owners are seeking variances from the front and rear setback for their structure. They do not support the request and ask that it be denied. The reason for their position, that this is the second time this request has been made. The first hearing prior to construction was attended by them and many neighbors, all of whom were against the builder's request, as all of the existing structures are compliant. Our request for denial was supported by the Board of Adjustment, and the builder was told no for their request for variance. Subsequently, the house was built anyway in violation of the setback requirements. Now, the owners request relief from the covenants after the fact rather than make the necessary changes to make the property compliant. They feel approval without remediation might lead to more of the same behavior to achieve desired ends in defiance of existing rules. The second letter is from Vincent and Karen Perry, also unable to attend this evening. They are owners of the property at 13026, which is two lots east of the subject property. The owners are seeking variances of front and back setbacks. They attended the first hearing prior to construction with many of their neighbors, all of whom were against the builder's request. The request for denial was granted by the board, but the house was built anyway in violation of the denial, and they feel that the variances if the variances are approved, it will lead to others doing the same, therefore lowering the value of their properties. A third letter was received by Jeremy Boros at 13024 Hayes Avenue. Strongly opposed to the variance and states that, number one, precedent was set on October 3rd, 2016 with case number 11,852, which was denied a variance for new construction, that John and Rose Cassie have been fully aware of the whole time they were not allowed to build a deck that close to the backyard canal but went ahead and did it anyway, that the applicant have shown total disregard for the well-being and common decency that is expected to be shown to the neighborhood as a part of being a good citizen to the community. 13024 Hayes Avenue added an entire second floor to the home within the last year and never crossed the rear setback line. This is a waterfront community, and a rear variance would block people's views of the bay as well as lower property values for the neighborhood. That the 15-foot setback is an important buffer zone for the protection of our bays and wetlands. All existing homes to the street have similar characteristics, and a rear variance would alter the characteristics of the neighborhood, and that the larger backyards make for a warmer and more desirable sun angle in the winter months for the year-round residents. Fourth letter is from Daniel Nedwick, which is at 13028 Hayes Avenue. Is also opposed, would like to see the second floor deck be modified to be in compliance with the standard building setbacks for the following reasons. Again, precedent was set. They were fully aware that the deck was close to the backyard, that the builder, who is related to the homeowners, both should have the same story and be on the same page, but this does not seem to be the case because of half-truths and misinformation from the two entities. The author of this letter has been dealing with major flooding caused by the builder blocking drains and putting no consideration in draining water off the property for the prevention of breeding mosquitoes and stopping the spread of mosquito-transmitted infections. From September 1st, 2017 to January 31st, 2018, the construction dumpster in front of Mr. Cassie's house has been full and overflowing. They've had multiple windstorms in the fall and winter that blew trash all over the neighborhood, and the builder took the opportunity to just pile more trash on top of the dumpster and let that just blow all around also. White paint appeared in front of the driveway where it looks like the builder was cleaning brushes out on the street, and the paint pollution is still staining the neighborhood today. The applicants have shown a total disregard for the well-being and common decency should be shown to the neighborhood. Again, repeating a previous letter that the second floor, the neighbor added an entire second floor without crossing the setback. It's a waterfront community. Again, items repeating. And finally, the final letter is from Richard Dombey at 13032 Hayes Avenue. Again, strongly opposed to the variance. I'd like to see the second floor deck modified. And this letter, the content of this letter is also a repeat of the previous letter. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Tim Willard with Fuquay Willard Stevenson Shop. I submitted a package on Friday.
That was provided to the board members as well.
Okay, it wasn't. You didn't mention it.
I'm sorry, you're correct. I did not mention that we did receive an exhibit booklet, which was provided to the board members over the weekend.
Very good. I just want to make sure it's part of the record. I'm going to be referring to that somewhat. So. I didn't think she was intentionally avoiding that.
And I guess one thing before Mr. Willard, before you get started, just because I think it is perhaps an elephant in the room, there was the previous application from 2016. It came before the board where there was a denial. We do have a copy of that also in the record, those findings. One of the because of that, and I'm sure you're aware of this, when decisions of the board, there is a res judicata applies to board decisions as well. So there does need to be show that there's a substantial change in conditions. And I think from what I could tell from your submissions, I think you were going to address that, but I want to make sure the board was aware. A little different standard than what we normally have as well because of that.
Yeah, and that's actually a legal determination that you can maybe decide and take this away from the board right now, actually. I think because it was accepted, I was concerned maybe that in Planning Commission, if you lose, you can't come back in a year, and they have the substantial, specifically the substantial change rule. In this case, they're different.
We have to determine if it is substantially different.
Yeah, and there are different dimensions, and you can make that decision.
Yeah, and I guess what I'll do is I looked at, there's a seminal case on this, Colick v. Sussex County Board of Adjustment from 1987, which deals with this. And in short, what it says is that the rules regarding the finality of decisions in zoning cases are no different from such rules in other areas of law, and the principles of res judicata and collateral estoppel apply in zoning cases. And basically what that means is the board would have no power to reopen or review its own decision by vacating, revoking, rescinding, or altering it after it has been made. But while a board cannot change its decision, it can consider a new application for similar relief if there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property or in the proposed use or plans for the use. The burden of proof for the changed circumstances is on the applicant, but a determination of whether sufficiently changed circumstances exist is a question of fact to be resolved in the first instance by the board. So because of that, and Mr. Willard, I'm sure, is going to go through his presentation this evening, that is the first question that you all would need to ask is what's being proposed substantially different than what had previously been? I know Mr. Willard's made reference to the previous one. And then after that, you would then go into your analysis. If you believe that was met, then you would go into your analysis as to the merits. So.
Very good. Just from the get-go, we have that in our mind. The variance we're asking for tonight is 9.8 feet for the rear setback and I think just 0.2 feet for the front, because it's at 29.8. We're not asking for any variances to the side, because it's 5 feet, and they're within that. Previously, they were asking for 7 feet in the front, and I believe 5 feet in the rear, and then 6 feet on either side. So that's factually the difference. You can decide whether that's substantial or not. Legally, an ordinance has been passed, which makes the setbacks for this site different. I'm sorry.
Is the difference because at first they want it was out of desire and now it's out of from a mistake?
They can maybe address that better, but I think that's exactly what this is about. It's sort of a calamity of errors and a mistake.
Because it would kind of be pointless for us to continue on.
I understand.
On the front yard, if we determine that it's not substantially different, that would, in my opinion, I don't know how the others feel, that would be substantially different.
Mm-hmm.
A mistake versus a desire.
Yes, I think it is. I've called today. The reason I got involved, I wasn't involved in the original variance. In fact, I didn't file this variance. With me, this is John and Rosemary Cassie. They asked to see me. I reviewed this. And quite frankly, I don't mind telling you this. when I first reviewed it, I said, well, you denied first. This is different. And then I did a little investigation, and that's part of my presentation tonight. I've actually called tonight the surveyor. He's here. I've called the builder, and I have the architect here. And I understand.
Can you get someone to confirm that, and then we can proceed, and we can make that determination, and then proceed?
What?
That it's substantially different, and the reason that. Can you get someone to confirm the reason why it's substantially different?
Other than what I've stated, yes.
Well, I mean, you can state it. You just need somebody to affirm that that's the fact, right?
I'll call Rick Evans from the get-go if you'd like. He's the architect.
All right. Thank you.
You're going to need to be sworn.
Okay. Do you have anybody else you want to swear in? Because we can do them all at the same time, if that's easier to say.
The builder and the surveyor, too.
Come on up, Mr. Evans. I'll get your name. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Richard Evans, 33824 Evans Road, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
Okay. You just wait around here. I'm going to swear everybody at the same time. Come on up.
Rosemary Cassie, 50 Oak Lane, Randolph, New Jersey.
Thank you.
John R. Cassie, Jr., 50 Oak Lane, Randolph, New Jersey.
Thank you. And can you have your wife come back up here? So we do need to swear everybody in.
Anthony Balsamo, 33066 Long Ridge Road, Parsonsburg, Maryland.
Thank you.
Russell Hammond, 10310 Hotel Road, Bishopville, Maryland, 21813.
Okay. And do the five of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Rick, if you could just stay here.
Okay.
And you're a designer, is that correct?
I am a draftsman, yes.
And tell the board about your business.
Basically do residential homes, Sussex County, Wicomico County.
Okay.
Yep.
How long have you been in business?
Since 1994.
And drafting residential plans?
Yes.
Are you familiar with this site plan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm going to show you what's a proposed site plan, believed to be the original one. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I was given that once the first variance did not pass.
And what were the dimensions of the building there?
It shows the house itself. I'm sorry, I hit where I can see it. The front to back of the house itself was 51.3 feet, and then the deck was another 10 feet, and the house is 30 feet wide.
Okay, and were you approached by the builder, Anthony Balsamo, after you learned that the variance to fit this on the property was denied?
Yes, I was.
And did you revise the plan?
We did revise the plan.
And I refer to you, and Mr. Mills, this is tab one of the revised survey that's before you here?
Yes.
And how did that change?
Well, let me...
Both dimensions and location.
I have not seen this survey. They have backed the house up by approximately 7 feet, is that right? 6 feet, 7 feet. And The house is definitely smaller. This house is 49.3 feet instead of the 51.3, and the deck remains the same. Yes.
But the width difference is really marginal, but it's 0.4, it looks like.
Yes, 30.4. That's the as constructed, yes.
Okay, in your opinion, is that a substantial change, moving it to the back and the shrinking the length of it from 51, actually 60 to...
The change we made was based on information we had at the time, and we were finding ways to shrink the house down. But you're talking a couple feet there, the front to back. The width, is probably something that was done on site just as a difference in foundation or how it's measured.
I understand.
Yes.
I don't know if the board has any questions for Mr. Evans.
You shrunk the house from front to back 2 feet?
Yes.
And you based it on some information that
we
you had?
We had some information. We did the original house plan based on what we believed they would be able to get a variance for. They basically told me what size they wanted to build the house. I actually called into the county when I met with them the first day because I didn't have lot size information or setbacks, and we were meeting at the site to go over it. So I called in, spoke to someone in planning and zoning, got the lot size and setbacks. As I was talking to them, they kind of laughed and said, well, you plan on getting a variance because everybody down there does it. And I kind of laughed back because of my experience. Well, I've seen that. And I said, yeah, I think that's the plan, but we're trying to figure out where to start. And we, at that point, developed a plan to start with that would meet what they were looking for as far as the house goes, and did the plans as needed and went through for the variance, which failed. At that point, they called me and said, we need to shrink the house down. And we started looking at ways to get it down to the numbers they had given me to the setbacks.
Who gave you the numbers?
That came either from the Cassies or Anthony, I can't remember at the time. But it was over the phone. They gave me the numbers and what the house size needed to be. Well, in the meantime, as I was working on that, trying to figure out where to take footage out of the house, I noticed a discrepancy between what they told me the rear setback was and what was showing as the rear setback on the survey. And so I made another call into the county and spoke to Steve in the county at planning and zoning. So I'm getting a discrepancy here. Can you please clarify this for me? Because I just can't find any way to get this extra 3 or 4 feet off the house. And we, without making huge changes, I couldn't do it. And he reviewed the variance on the phone, and basically, as he was reviewing it, he stated to me that if it looked to him, if we were 10 feet from the water, it was okay. And I repeated to him, are you saying that if we're 10 feet from the water, we are okay? He says, the way it looks to me, if we're 10 feet from the water, you are okay. So I said, okay, but that takes care of where I'm at. It solves my concern. So that's when I basically completed the plans to what I was just told and turned them over.
So the plan changes were based on Steve's estimate from planning and zoning of what would pass the planning and zoning board of adjustment.
That he told me 10 foot, he would be okay.
And in your opinion, getting 2 feet out of the house would do that?
That's
a substantial change.
Well, that was what we needed based on the numbers I had.
Okay, thank you.
I actually was thinking we had taken like 5 or 7 feet out of the house, but I don't have that in front of me right now.
Well, it looks like 51.3 to 49.3 on that one side.
Well, the way I see it on the original, if I may, looks like this is 51.3 plus 10 on the original one, which would be 60.
Well, same way on the one that's already built because you're counting the deck.
Yeah, it's 49 and 10.
So the difference, 10 foot deck and 10 foot deck, so the difference is 51.3 minus 49.3. 2 feet.
Correct.
2 feet.
So you built the house.
I didn't build it.
Okay, but you built the house knowing it needed the variance. You built it anyway.
At that point, the house was built after the first variance failed, but we had modified the house, we believed, enough to bring it back to what, based on what we were told from the planning and zoning office.
May I make a note about the variance, the rear yard setback? And I'm not sure when you spoke with Steve regarding that setback, but the setback of after the reduction due to the code change, the reduction would have made it, or the code change would have made it a 15-foot rear yard setback. Ground level decks are allowed to encroach 5 feet, which would have given them the 10. Unfortunately, the problem area on this particular case is the second floor deck, not the first.
Not the first. Okay.
Yeah.
So my question is, and I'm kind of puzzled, you're a designer.
Yes.
In Sussex County.
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
Since 1994.
So wouldn't you be familiar and be able to design a house without a variance?
We design houses to before variance are done several times in order for them to get the variance.
Well, my thing is that how can you design a house and think that the board is just going to let them have it because that's what they want?
We didn't think that. They applied for it after we designed the plans based on the plans we had developed.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you design based on information given from, I guess, a surveyor and the builder?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't do any surveying as part of what I do.
Okay. You just design based on request.
Based on what the homeowner and the builder ask.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Evans, did you design this project thinking it would be submitted for a variance before it was built?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Yes.
Do you? Can I clarify that? I'm not sure I understand. Do you mean the first design?
The first design.
The one that was built in violation. Did you design that for the purpose of being built without a variance hearing, or did you think it would go to a variance?
We had discussed the fact that they were going to have to come in for a variance.
Thank you.
Hearing. Yes.
And fellow members, keep in mind the only thing that we're first wanting to determine is if there's a difference just on the front, not the back, that's substantial enough for us to even consider that front.
Okay.
You know, and that's why I asked the question. Was it the first one?
I think that's a bit of a misstatement, Mr. Mills. The issue is whether there's been a substantial change in the plans, so the overall project. So
okay.
What Mr. Willard has indicated is that they moved the house back and they've reduced the size of it, and that's a threshold question, but I would encourage the board to hear the entire presentation so that maybe we can get a little better feel for this part of that.
And then determine. Okay.
You got a 15.
Sorry to cut you off, Mr. Mill.
No, that's fine. Okay.
Thank you. You can have a seat. John, can you come up for a second?
Sure.
Sir, you're already sworn. State your name and where you live.
Sure. My name is John Robert Cassie, Jr. I live at 50 Oak Lane, Randolph, New Jersey.
Okay, and just to the specific question, as you were aware that your builder applied for the first variance, is that correct?
Yes.
Were you aware that the changes had to be modified after that because you were denied?
Yes.
Did you rely on your architect and your builder to do that?
I relied on my architect, surveyor, as well as my builder.
Did you have any belief that you needed a variance after that?
No.
When was the first time you realized that you were in violation?
When we got a letter in the mail.
Okay. And when was that? Was that summer or August of 2017, right?
Yes.
And after that, shortly after that, the construction stopped. Is that correct?
Yes, I told my builder to stop construction immediately. I wanted to figure out what was wrong. And we went from there, and I'll let my builder talk about that. But he said everything was okay from what I've heard from him. And he said, we're okay. He said they thought that the porch or the deck and the deck above it, that it was enclosed. I said, no, we're not enclosing any decks or porch.
So you thought just by putting a balcony above the deck without a roof wasn't enclosing it?
That's correct.
All right, you can have a seat.
So the house is finished, correct?
Just about, yes. There's a few things inside that have to be done, and that's my personal stuff that I want it done.
So they, as stated, I think they got a temporary CO that expires. And
I saw that.
Just to, we wouldn't have to be here if they cut that balcony in half, okay? Right, because the setback is right, I'm getting a nod from over there, and the structure is 15 feet or 10 feet from the rear line. If you remove the balcony, which is not roofed, then that deck is no longer covered.
Right.
So the solution for them to be, if this is denied, would be for them to, you know, get out a saw and cut that 5 feet off of that, or a little less than that.
Wouldn't that then be, it could be developed in strict conformity with the code? I mean, that's a standard that they have to meet. It's not the minimum variance because they can comply.
Well, that's one of them.
And move the house.
Excuse me?
And move the house because the front's not in.
Well, we need point two.
Certainly. Yeah.
It looks like the point two in the front, and now we're okay on the side. And I don't know if your raised judicata argument considers a change in law.
Well, I think, you know, as far as the county goes, and I would like to ask Mr. Cassidy a question. For the board, the way I'm looking at this, this was last summer when this was being constructed, in which case the side yard setbacks at that time would have been 10 feet, and the code changed in March. Mm-hmm. So we are dealing now where the side is not an issue at this point,
right?
Because the law's changed. They've asked.
But it wouldn't have been anyway because he was 9.8, 9.9.
The side yards.
Great. 9.8,
yeah.
9.9.
Yeah.
So he would have not needed those.
No, he would have. They would have been slightly encroaching.
They would have been administrative variances.
Correct.
Yeah. But now it's five. I think maybe your point is, and I don't mind admitting it, the property's got a little more stink on it because those were built before the new law.
Correct.
And it wasn't five then. I understand that. I'm here because I met with the Cassies, and I thought, wow, you know, it's unfortunate this happened to you as the owner. You're responsible for this. And then I started to learning about the architect's statement, who I didn't subpoena him. They came here tonight to, you know, jump under the bus. The builders here and the surveyors here. And I tried to reinvent what happened here, and it's not fair to, you know, say I called the county and things like that. They know their responsibility. Mr. Cassie has worked as a financial investigator for the Department of Treasury for 33 years. He now consults with the Department of Justice. Mrs. Cassie is a career early education and after school counselor and provider. And these are people that weren't trying to trick you, weren't trying to disrespect the neighbors, and it just snowballed. So, you know, you can call me Don Quixote, but I'm here just trying to present maybe where they are on this thing. Wasn't he tilting at windmills or something?
I don't know.
And since that time, I'll jump ahead on my presentation, but I found that this subdivision, you can have a seat unless there are other questions.
Any further questions?
I'm sure he'll be available.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I found that this subdivision was approved, or no, it wasn't approved, it's non-conforming, was divided in 1966, so it's actually a non-conforming subdivision. Okay, and the restrictive covenants of the subdivision call for a 10-foot rear setback. Now, Mr. Sharp will say, so what? That doesn't account for buildings that aren't built yet. Well, the subdivision also has approximately 17 or 18 rear setback subdivisions that are well within the 20 feet. Some are less than 10. Is that relevant? You know,
it's on average.
Well, I think it's somewhat relevant to when you consider uniqueness, and you all consider uniqueness of a property based on that lot, right? But you have found multiple times that 10 is okay for this subdivision. Multiple times. So you've acknowledged that this non-conforming subdivision with 5,000 square foot lots is unique. It's on lagoons, and...
But that's not what we're talking about right now.
But it's part of my presentation.
Wow. Okay.
You have the survey, and you know the history of the ordinance. And it's, you know, it may be too late legally, referencing res judicata, and I don't want to get too legal, but I did include a case that I think might be somewhat relevant. Mr. Sharp probably would disagree on the Gibson case. And simply, that is a case where there were multiple conditional uses granted for a higher density around a pond in Rehoboth, and there was a lot of opposition that showed up. It got kind of political, and the Planning Commission denied it. And the Chancery Court said, no, you've already granted these all around this area. So specifically, that opposition, although real, because they may feel their changes, is can be discounted because of what you've already done and approved. And that's one argument we would make. Maybe it's not what's before you now, but I'm trying to give everything that I got here. You know the history about the variance. You learned about... I think it's time to hear from the builder.
The builder and the surveyor.
I probably don't have to answer any questions. Anthony, come forward, please. Starting with your original request for a variance, can you tell us what happened?
Well, when we first came in, I handed in all the paperwork, went to the planning and zoning, filled that out, came up, presented my... argument of why we should do this, do that, and got turned down. And after we got turned down, that's when I called up the homeowners, told them that after I left here, we got turned down due to this, we need to, you know, fix the house. And that's also the next day when I called Rick Evans, called Russell back up, told him what happened and that stuff. And that's when we all got together, told them we need to shrink the house down, need to come up with a new plan to try to figure out. And that's when Rick called the town, and then I followed up.
The town?
County. Oh, the county, sorry.
Okay.
Called the county, said, hey, you have to be this, you know, 10 feet from your setback. As long as you're 10 feet, everything would be fine. And then that's when we started drawing up the new plans to go over, you know, to get everything 10 feet with that. Talked to Russell about, hey, we have the new plans coming up. We're going to be 10 feet back, need to be 30 foot up. And then I met, after all that was done, set up the plans into the county. That got passed, and that's when we started doing. I had Russell come out and restake the property with the 30-foot setback in the front, and that's when we started building.
Were the footers ever inspected?
Yes, everything passed.
Well, when you say the plans were passed, that passed building code, right?
Yes.
Okay, which has nothing to do with planning and zoning or setbacks, nor does the footer inspections, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Did you know at that time you needed the variance?
I knew we needed the variance when I first set up to do it. And then after that, we found out that we were 30 feet from the front and then 10 foot, as long as we were 10 foot from the back. No, I did not know we needed another variance at that time.
And nobody said anything about a variance, do you?
No.
So in your plan, when you went and got a building permit, what did the building permit say?
They didn't say anything. I handed everything.
Well, you signed it.
Oh, that. I thought you said, what did they say?
It's a building permit. So did you read the building permit and know what the county zoning setbacks were?
As I see it in here, yes, but when we were on, when we talked everything and did everything, it was always the 10-foot setback, and that's what we went
well,
off of.
You know what? I would not sign my name to accept this when it says you're supposed to be, this says 20 feet. Rear setback.
Yes, I see that.
You need to read and understand what you're signing, because that's why these people are here. And they've relied on you to build them a nice house and not have all these issues with their neighbors. And now they do.
Understandable.
Any other questions for...
So, did you know if you took the roof off of the second story deck that they wouldn't be here except for the 0.2 feet from the front?
No, I, well, when I first went in there, when we had the issue, I called called up to the town, went to the town and spoke. And when I said, is it an enclosed deck? I said, no, there's no windows. And that's what Janelle asked me, is there windows? Is it enclosed? I said, no, all it is a deck with railings, with a balcony and railings. Nothing is, no windows, no doors, nothing was enclosed.
But you have a roof over it, right? Don't you have a ceiling?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a ceiling over the first deck, yes.
It's called the balcony, right?
Yeah, balcony, but I didn't think
it's
that
not,
was an enclosed.
It wasn't designed to roof the deck below, it was designed as a balcony.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Have you learned anything?
Yes.
Nope. Any further questions, Tom? Okay. We thank you. Al, or Russ.
Russell Hammond was a surveyor.
Okay.
I have a question for him. Well, right off the bat.
I know.
Can you let me go ahead?
Yes, go right ahead.
All right, so your proposed site plan, as I looked over it, it was done March 16th of 2015. And it says existing zoning C1 for this property, zoning setbacks, front 30 feet, sides 10, and rear 10. Then on the final as constructed survey, it says zoning AR1. Front 30 feet, sides 10 feet, rear 20 feet. So,
what
happened, and did it go from C1 to AR1 in 2 years?
No, ma'am, it did not. We originally did the survey, we showed the setbacks as front, sides as being 10, and the rear being 10 based off other surveys we had done, and the other subdivisions, Cape Windsor, Shady Park, other areas.
Shady Park, you wouldn't have one. Shady Park's rented lots. You'd have one for Swan Keys.
So, I'm sorry. Yes, Swan Keys. So
where did you get the C1 zoning? I don't understand.
If you go on the county website at the time, 2015, evidently that's what was stated. I have a copy showing what was on the current map.
So when you draw something or survey something else like this proposed,
yes, ma'am,
knowing that it does not meet the criteria, what makes you think that a variance is going to be granted?
We prepared the site plan. I don't know if a variance is going to be granted, ma'am. That's up to the board to decide.
So why did you draw it the way you did?
Because it had to show what the owner was asking for as far as a variance
goes. Okay, so it was what the owner requested.
Owner and builder, we work together. I'm assuming that the owner and builder have had conversations and how they want the site plan to look to be put forth before the board to decide whether or not it's going to be allowed. Okay. You guys have to have something to look at to say yay or nay.
Proposed location drawing for the purpose of soliciting a variance prior to construction, or just a proposed location to give to these guys to do whatever they want?
No. This was a proposed site plan. Like I said, I knew they had to go for a variance because the front setback was already encroached by.
You knew they had to get a variance, yes, before they built?
Well, yes, because of being over the line. I don't know now. I don't know whether they come and get the variance.
Did you mention that to the customer?
As a surveyor? The builder on that. Okay. I'm assuming that they had conversations with the owner.
Okay.
Just for clarification, we're talking about the first proposal that went to variance hearing and was denied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but now this one, now you're off 0.2 feet from the front.
What, if I may, I think Ms. McGee is referring to the as-built.
Yes.
Before we get there, if I may, what happened between you proposing this, it going to variance hearing, it being denied? Did you have any other contact? Did you participate in the variance hearing?
No, did not.
Okay, when's the next time you heard about this project?
When we staked the house out. And we staked it out to be at 30 feet back.
And that's what they're looking at tab one?
Yes.
So it was marginal, if I may, in the front and the sides, but they had moved it back to the 10, which was your building.
I was told by the builder that the variance had been denied. We had to move the house back to comply with a 30-foot setback.
And your explanation of relying on the 10-foot setback in the rear is what?
Based off, once again, I had used the other setbacks in the surrounding neighborhoods, a phone call should have been made to the county. Actually, that is part of our, any site plans that are done now, we always call the county moving forward, and this is back in 2015. But we have put in place mechanisms where we call the county. We write down the date that we call, the person we talk to, and what the variance is, well, not, excuse me, what the setbacks are and what the zoning of the property is.
I would get it in writing instead of talking to somebody on the phone.
We can certainly do that.
In my business, if it's not written down, it doesn't happen.
True.
Maybe get a lawyer too.
I don't know about that.
So you staked this? You staked this for the Mason?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And so you staked it assuming that you were 30 feet back on that front?
Yes. I think that probably the 2/10 what you're seeing is just siding or, you know, when we relocate the finished product. Finished product being.
Okay.
So it says the date is 9/26/2017, and you revised it on November 2nd, 2017. Why did you revise the site, the final as constructed?
We did not have any setbacks listed on the first one.
Okay.
So we did show the proper setbacks, which is what you currently see as being the 30 to 10 and the 20 rear.
Which the 20 is now is 15.
Well, correct.
And the 10's now 5.
And the 10's now 5.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, professionally speaking, I rely on my surveyor to keep me out of trouble. You had to have drawn this house out before you staked it out. You didn't see a problem with any of the setbacks before these people built this house.
On the original site plan or on
On the house that you staked out that ended up being this existing dwelling. When you staked out the foundation.
Yes, sir.
You did draw the house out and sent the information out in the field, right?
Yes, sir.
And you didn't see any setback violations?
The masonry structure was within the setbacks. Where
how about the rear deck, the two-story, the deck with the roof over it?
I did not know that they were continuing to build the deck at that time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
you. Communication.
You just did what you were told to do. That's just that part of it.
We had the masonry foundation. We were told to stake out the masonry foundation. We verified the masonry foundation was within the correct setbacks.
Setbacks.
So you take the L for that.
You're supposed to do. You did what you're supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
And you communicated with who?
The builder. Who's yeah.
So if the builder is extending the exterior siding or any other extensions, then that's on him from that foundation. He's supposed to tell you, set it back further because this is going to happen above
ground. Aztec, you might be using the AZAC certainly has a lot more than what was on there. I don't, you know, the finished product. You can look at an elevation of finished product. You're not going to know if it's Aztec or AZAC, I'm sorry, or if it's going to be vinyl.
So if you were doing a survey with a house on the property already, then you would survey to the exterior corners?
Yes, sir.
And not the foundation?
No.
Okay.
So you just received a plan showing the house foundation with no decks on the back. And that's what you staked out. And then when you did your final location, then the decks were there? Is that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Any further questions?
Okay. I've got some questions for your other witnesses, but I don't know.
So, but the deck was on this plan.
Right. So, do you want to clarify your answer here about whether the deck and the seat? It says first and second floor deck.
That's
on your survey.
On the final survey.
On the final.
On the final survey. Yes.
There was not a proposed location drawing shared with the homeowners prior to staking this project out.
Just the original one I had prepared, which is where.
For the house that wasn't being built?
Yes. The one that's shown here on the proposed site plan, that's the one I had. That. And then when we met with the builder, he said we have to move the house back 30 feet.
Well, the first one, proposed site plan, says second floor deck. Covered porch, or covered porch and second floor deck.
Right.
And then the final says first and second floor deck.
Let me ask you. Maybe this will help clarify. When you survey for a foundation stakeout.
Yes, sir.
Then the builder tells you, I want this 30 feet from the front, so many feet from each side, so many feet for the rear, for the foundation.
Correct.
He doesn't tell you anything else about the house. And you assume that he has that under control. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So after, you know, after that, you come back and you do a final survey to show what was built.
Correct. I don't go back. Once the house is staked, we don't go back until the final.
Yeah.
You don't take the building plans and create a proposed location drawing prior to staking out the building.
No, unless it's asked for by the builder.
So the builder just requested a rectangle box.
He did not
give you a plan.
I had a set of foundation plans to stake out the house.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mills, do you have any questions?
I have questions for Mr. Evans and Mr. Balsamo.
Me too.
You do too? Okay, you want to ask them when you get up here?
Okay.
I guess I'll start with Mr. Evans.
Yes.
The size of the dwelling that is there now,
yes,
and the structures that are there, how big is that?
I have not reviewed the plans in quite a while. I've just been concentrating on this. But according to the survey, the house itself is 49.3 foot deep and 10 foot. The deck is
How many stories is it?
It's a... trying to remember. I think it was two stories. I can't remember if we had the whole first floor covered in the second floor.
Tab 7 has a picture of it. It's
okay.
A blue house right in the middle.
Well, I was just curious because
it was kind of a Cape Cod style house. I don't think all the first floor was covered.
Okay. It looks to me like from looking at the difference in the surveys, and I just want to understand the changes that were made, because that is a threshold question. And the first one being house was moved back.
Yes.
It looks like the outdoor shower was removed.
Yeah, we did a couple things to get it down.
Looks like the dwelling was shrunk about 2 feet in length.
Yes.
It looks like the porch in the rear was converted into a deck.
I'll be honest with you, when I did the revisions to get it down, I actually changed the actual drawings that were there before, so I don't have a copy of what the original plan was before the very first variance.
Okay, I mean, I was just trying to get a handle as to what was the differences between them, so we have that in the record as far as what the differences are.
Yes.
And it looks like there may have been a change with some of the stairs on the sides where they were coming from.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
From an architectural perspective, the second floor deck, could that be reduced in size and still maintain the architectural? Could it be reduced, say, 5 feet architecturally?
And I apologize, I've not reviewed these plans in quite a while, the plans of the house. I do remember that the deck was smaller. The second floor balcony deck was much smaller than the downstairs deck. And I want to say that upstairs deck was maybe around 6 foot wide. Does that sound right?
The pictures that we have, they look identical.
Yeah, they're
Hey, Mr. Balsamo, we'll get to you in a minute.
Okay.
So
yeah, it could be shortened up enough, and I believe it's 3.5 feet or something that it would need to be shortened to get it back to 50.
Architecturally, I presume the front of the house couldn't be reduced by the 2/10 of a foot.
No, I mean, like was mentioned, that was probably as much as a side overhang or something like that.
Okay. All right. I don't know if anybody else has questions for Mr. Evans. I have questions for Mr. Balsamo.
I wish we had your plans here. Does your plans, of course, you show the decks on it.
I do show the decks.
On a foundation design, don't you typically show footers for decks? And
typically, I show my footers for my decks on the sections and basically just show the decks unless it's a significant deck that is carrying a lot of weight.
Right.
I just show it as a cross section, showing my footers and how they're supposed to be.
So a foundation drawing submitted to a surveyor typically would have that deck on it.
Usually, if I send my plans over to the surveyor, I send everything, but I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Did you do it this time?
I don't remember how we sent them over. Usually I'll email it to a surveyor or the builder will take the plans to him. So
okay.
I really don't know. I could go back through my emails and see if I sent it to him or not, but it would take me a few minutes.
That's not necessary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just trying to figure out how this happened to these folks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Mr. Balsamo, I've got some questions. So from the builder perspective, I understand the architect said that the front part couldn't be brought into compliance. Is that your position?
Yes, correct.
All right. What about the deck on the second floor? Could that be brought into compliance?
You'd have to do a lot of, you'd have to do new footings, you'd have to change the structure of the whole top deck. Because you can't just cut it 4 feet or whatever it has to be. I mean, it has to be structurally sound.
It's not cantilevered?
No, it's right to the end. So like if you took the saw or cut it to there, I mean, you'd have to bring in all them outside posts that's on the bottom deck in that 3 feet or 4 feet, whatever. And then you'd have big 6x6s right in the middle of your entire deck on the first floor to hold the top balcony up.
But it could be done because then you could take the whole thing off and start over. Correct.
I mean, anything could be done. I mean, but you know, it's the way it is now. It's structurally sound and everything. Anything can be done.
You wouldn't have to take the whole thing off, but I do agree with the builder that it's not just as simple as cutting it back.
Right.
There's no bearing there.
You've got to have some bearing on the first
And thing. Then how he can't cantilever it. So what is he going to do? Run a series of posts across the first floor deck to support the second?
Yeah. Well, and then he has to change the first floor deck footing.
Right.
Yeah. All
he'll
the footings
have to
would
add
have
additional
to be changed.
Footings
you'd
under
have
the
footing,
first floor
footing.
Deck. Then they'd have an awful condition with posts sitting on top of the first floor deck to carry the second.
So you wouldn't have a first floor deck.
Well, both would have to be redone, basically.
You wouldn't have a deck out there, would you?
Both first and second floor decks, safe to say, would have to be redone.
Yeah, because you'd have to take the decking off both because you'd have to get the footings, and then you'd have to get a 6x6 post, you know, straight up all the way to, and then you'd probably, it's 30 feet, so you figure that at least two on the outside, you'd have five posts going right through the middle of your deck.
Boss your deck.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Mr. Sharp, have we solved the concern with the substantial change?
That's a determination that you will have to make.
He just wants us to make it
before we make that
decision
that
on the variance.
Yeah, that's right. And I would recommend that, I know there's probably people here that wish to speak either for or against as well. Probably be looking at that answer at the end of everything.
While everybody's up here, let me ask, because I think that we can pretty much have answered or can further determine on the, it would appear that the foundation was set to the setbacks.
Correct.
And because there is less than 10 feet on each side and less than 10 feet and less than 30 feet on the front, that the siding, if you will, or the exterior of the home itself is what has caused that.
Yes.
Additional encroachment.
Correct.
Okay. So that would be, I think that answers the question of if it's substantially different, because originally it was, the first request was because of the applicant's desire and
yes.
Not because of a mistake or an oversight.
Yes.
Okay. So now how are we on the rear? We're good?
I've got all the questions I need answered.
Okay. And perhaps the only thing left to do is address the standards.
Okay. Could I have one moment, please?
Absolutely.
One follow-up question. Did the foundation footers extend to up to be under the deck that's built?
No, the footings that go on the back deck, they're, I'm trying to see.
Look at tab one at the as-built. You see the first and second floor deck.
Yes.
Were there footers under there?
Yeah, the footers are where the foundation is on the end of the house, and then exactly where the edge of the deck is, there's footings. There's nothing under.
All the way up to the 10 feet under the deck.
Yes, that's all. There's no concrete underneath the deck. It's just where the 6x6 post footings went, and that's only where the footers were.
Spot footings, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Could I have one moment, and then
absolutely.
I understand your question. I can get through this pretty quickly.
If I may just race through some of the other exhibits I have just to get them in the record, they already are, but I'll let you know why, whether they're relevant to your first special question. You'll have to decide that. In tab 2-3, I've indicated all the lots that actually have a variance in it, and those are all rear setback variances. I said it's relevant for the reasons I've stated. Again, you have to decide whether it's relevant in the initial. And I don't think my notes as to each one of those variants are came through real clear, but those numbers that project off of there, 713, you can see it faintly written, 712, those are all the how far the property is from the rear. And following that are the minutes for all those approvals.
But is that your... I look at the property based on the property, not by what everything else is done in the community. Why would...
Well, one element is, I think, substantially affecting other neighboring properties. These 16 haven't. So I think it is okay. Somewhat relevant in that regard.
You're saying, that, and I think you've said before, that the board has basically set a precedent.
Yeah, I think it is significant. I think you've considered that in the past, and I think it's considered also to your finding of uniqueness. You found for each one of these, I say the board, I shouldn't say you, the board has found for each one of these variances that all the elements are met, all of them. And if it's done 17 times, it seems like that does have significance. Since that time, we've found a few more for what it's worth. There are about 7 more that are highlighted on here. I'll just hand that up. I don't have the minutes for those. I think it's because the surveyor would have 20 years and you're just able to find ones that are more recent. But to put some meat on those bones, I've also included the minutes for all of them attached. I'm not going to go through each one of them. It'll say, some of those board meetings were pretty quick. Maybe
they used to be.
they didn't have many, right?
Tim Willard was.
Until lawyers started showing up. But I think it's significant. So you have all those minutes for all those, and then on tab 5, there's some close-ups more. And you know, a good overall picture of this neighborhood is in tab 2, which comes in pretty clearly. And at the bottom, right on Hayes, you can probably identify with that dark roof in the middle, that's the Cassie's house.
When did you give us all this?
I gave it to you Friday, and I did because when I handed the board something 2 weeks ago, I sort of had a stern look that why give it to the night of, and I tried as hard as I could to get it in before the meeting, but you may not have gotten it till the day.
Touche. So.
Well, Friday.
I wouldn't suggest you adopt a rule like the Planning Commission, but you always could. On tab 5, you'll see close-ups of some of these houses that are actually on Garfield. These are right across the lagoon from the Cassie's
Bouncing
property.
Everybody,
and you have the addresses there, 3915, and it actually shows the distance of their house and the porches from the lagoon. The first one on 39155 is 9.71 feet. At 39159 Garfield, it's 11 feet. At 39163 Garfield, it's only 10 feet.
They don't have a deck with a...
Well, they're all different, quite frankly. Some of them, one of them actually has a triple deck that goes 3 times, so that's, you know, 2 roofs that have been approved. You have Mr. Evans on tab 6, his approval. Ms. McGee on tab 7 gives you a better picture of what those decks look like. The blue building is the Cassie's that's already been built.
Where's the deck?
Well,
tab
you can't.
Seven?
Yeah, in tab 7, you can't see the Cassie's deck because it's on the lagoon, but it shows you all those variances that have been approved on Garfield, which have two deer decks, at least 3 of them do.
Do you have a homeowners association here?
I don't think.